Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. We spend a lot of time talking about how important it is to take care of your mental health. Therapy is an excellent way to do that. BetterHelp is an affordable mental health care option that fits right into your busy schedule. Just answer a few quick questions about your needs and preferences, and BetterHelp will match you with one of the thousands of experienced mental health professionals in their network. You can talk to your therapist over text, chat, phone, or video. You get to pick what works best for you, your comfort, and your schedule. If you feel like your therapist isn't the right fit, BetterHelp makes it easy to switch to someone new at no additional cost. So give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy. BetterHelp is offering our listeners 10% off their first month of therapy. Just go to betterhelp.com/musicspeaks to get started. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/musicspeaks to get 10% off your first month of therapy.
Like so many of you, we battle depression during life's many ups and downs.
Music has always been there to help us through the tough times that we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music.
Interview artists and bands.
Break down genres and music news.
Review artist biographies.
And much, much more.
You're listening to the When Words Fail Music Speaks podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to When Words Fail Music Speaks, where we fight depression with the power of music. I'm your professional handicapped host, James Cox. I have another exciting interview today for your ears. This band is called Trailer Park Country, which is a great name, by the way. And I'm here with lead singer Dennis Cockerham and Jason Rabus. Did I say that right?
Rabus.
Rabus. I'm so sorry, but usually I asked before, but I totally forgot. Yeah, Rabus, okay. So they are a band from
Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Oh, yes, thank you, sir. And they just released their first EP entitled Trailer Park Country. And they have four tracks: Tailgate Country, Church Me Up, Dirty Rich, Dirty Poor, which is my favorite song, and Gravel Road. Guys, welcome to the show. How are y'all doing today?
Good. How are you?
Very good. Very good. Jason, you doing all right?
I'm doing good.
All right. All right. Yeah, I see you got your guitar there, Jason, and you said I gotta get this in because this is my brand new guitar. You know, I love new guitars.
Yeah, every time I get a new one, you know, I've got a few of them.
A few.
And got a little
a
bit
hundred.
Of a problem.
A few. Yeah, a few hundred.
A few
right?
Hundred.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see you have like two acoustic guitars there, Dennis.
I've got quite a few acoustic and two electric.
Yeah. Do you have at least 200 since Jason's got 100?
No. I'm still in the trailer park.
Oh, they're in Trailer Park Country. That's what's up. Yeah. Yeah, man. So, yeah. So when I was listening to your first EP, Trailer Park Country, for anybody who didn't hear me the first time, which you should have, yeah, because this band is great, y'all. I found myself more inclined to listen to Dirty Rich, Dirty Poor, and I think that's your first single, correct?
You know what? Actually, it was our second one.
Second, okay.
But it's number one on the track for a big reason.
Yes. It's
it was our shout out. I used to write for the Nashville Songwriters Association, and I set that song into Tailgate Crazy into them about three times, and they kept wanting me to take out the part that I thought made it unique. So I talked to Jason. He said, well, why don't we just put it out ourselves? So we put it out, and then it got picked up by the NFL tailgating communities, and they started liking it, and it just kind of took us off on a whirlwind. And so I wrote the lyrics to Dirt Rich, Dirty Poor, telling Nashville that we didn't really need them no more.
Yeah, because, well...
But of course, we do.
Yeah. It was my way of getting it out of my system, you know what I mean? Like, look, we're going to do this on our own then.
Right, yeah. Well, I think that big record companies now want... are kind of leaning towards helping the musicians more, because more and more are going to independent their own independency, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So
I mean, we love Nashville. We played there. We played at the Tennessee Titans tailgate, and you know, I mean, it was one of our on purpose tailgates, and we've got plans in the future of returning around the area, but you know, it just felt so good to get a song out there. You know, it's really hard to get music out there and get it to where you find your market of people who listen. And when we did it, I was so happy. I was, you know, I mean, Dirt Rich, Dirty Poor is basically, it's our theme song. It's who we are. You know, I mean, it's where we come from. And a lot of people identify with that.
Yeah, I agree. So is it safe to say that this is the family band? Because this, you have two, I think it's two brothers with you. You have Dion, which plays bass, and Jay, which plays the drums. Is it safe to say this is a more or less a family band?
Yeah, pretty much.
Kind of, sort of.
Dennis is my brother, too. Brother from another mother.
There you go. It's all in the family, right? Yeah.
Yeah. We used to live by each other growing up. Mm-hmm. And then we hooked back up later, and we created this. And then Dion is his brother, and Jay is his son. So you know what? It's... you know, I mean, when we get together, things just work.
Yeah. So, Jason, I talked about this previously with you before Mr. Dennis joined us, you know. With you being a guitarist, which guitar do you lean towards the most? Do you feel like playing acoustic a lot more or electric like you were practicing earlier?
I like electric. I love the sounds that I can make from it. But the simplicity of acoustic guitar, the raw sound, it's amazing.
Hey, you let me answer that.
Okay.
He's an electric guitar player. Hey, and he rips it up. And he does really well with that. Most of our songs are written to the acoustic. And then it gets turned over to Jason, and they become electric. But so do the songs. You know what I mean? I'm a self-taught three-chord songwriting musician, and Jason comes from a rock background. He's played in a multitude of bands. He has a lot more experience in it than I do. And he takes the songs... And he adds that in there, and it changes the dynamics a lot.
Yeah. So yeah, I just want to tell Jason that I think his guitar playing is top notch, because when I listen to Dirty Rich, Dirty Poor, or Tailgate Crazy, I hear some of the most unique sounds that you can get from a guitar. Jason, how do you get those tunes? I mean, does it just come out by accident? You know, because sometimes noises, you know, go through amps or weird, like, and it's by accident. Sometimes it's meaningful. So how do you get those?
When I'm recording, sometimes I just hit something by accident and think, oh, how'd I do that?
Yeah.
And then I got to go figure it out, and I'll put it back in. And sometimes I record it, I didn't even know it happened, and I listened to the recording after we produced it, and wow, that was cool.
Yeah, some of those accidents are like the best, and some of them, you know, not so best, you know, who knows, you know. And going back to Dennis, though, was there any songs that you weren't, that you felt the need to bring more expressive feeling behind it? I know these are like country rock songs, but how did your singing to Jason's guitar riffs work out for you?
Well, here's the thing: is the songs were written differently than they're played now. So I wrote the songs. All but Dirt Rich, Dirty Poor, I wrote the songs, and I was in a different type of setting. And I had self-taught myself to learn to play the guitar, and I just wanted to see what made me country. Yeah. And so I answered that with Gravel Road, Tailgate Crazy, and Church Me Up. You know what I mean? Love and and they don't sound nothing like what they did when I was stringing them.
Right.
But what's really cool is that I could take the concept, play it to Jason, and it doesn't, you know, the worst, I don't like to cuss, but collaboration, collaboration is a cuss word.
Don't say that word.
No. Hold on now.
it's also the biggest tool that we have. You know, some people say it takes a village to raise a baby.
Yeah.
I'm the biggest baby.
Oh, no. you know, okay.
I'm the biggest baby.
Yeah.
And that's what it takes. It takes all of us together to make the music into what it is. You know what I mean? I couldn't do it by myself. And if I did, it would not sound the way it sounded. It'd be a version of it, but not its best version.
Yeah. So I want to say, okay, so Dirty Rich 34 was your second single.
It was.
What was your first single, if I might ask?
Tailgate Crazy.
Okay, Tailgate Crazy. Okay, so will Church Me Up be your third single? Because I fell in love with that song the moment I heard it, because it speaks so true to me that a lot of people would just tell me how to live, you know? And that's not...
Yeah.
Me, I prefer to not get advice from anybody, you know, because it's my life, you know, and I'm sure you all are, right?
Are you related to Dennis?
I could be. I don't know. He's a brother from another mother, just like you said. So I might be related to him. Yeah. But so did you all get so fed and so sick and fed up with people telling you how to live that their song came to fruition?
Well, yeah.
Yes and no.
35 years of being an adult and people telling me how I'm supposed to be an adult. I think that spoke to me when Dennis was writing the lyrics to the song.
Right.
Yeah, that the music came really easy because it told my side of that story.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's a good way of putting it. I tell my side of the story with the lyrics. Jason tells his side of the story with the music that gets put to the lyrics.
Mm.
Perfect. That's a really good way of putting that. You know what I mean? I'm using that from here on out, Jason.
Oh, there you go.
You have my permission.
Hey, collaboration.
Don't say that word, man. Don't. Jason, we'll get on you about that, man. Yeah.
I'll tell you something I haven't said before.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. I was raised by my grandparents in a small town in Nebraska, and I was removed from the home due to physical abuse, got put in foster care, group homes, and put in the system. And eventually, I just repeated that pattern, and it carried on into my adulthood. Everywhere I went, I was instructed on how to think, how to feel, how to correct what I thought, how to correct how I feel.
Yeah.
I was from group homes, foster homes, institutions, incarceration. And so my whole life was somebody telling me when I could eat, when I could use the bathroom, what I could wear, when I could wear it. Yeah. Last time I was in trouble was November 29th, 2016. I've also been substance free since that time. The music is now my drug of choice, like Jason says. Don't Church Me Up was me telling them, now I get to say something.
Yes, I love that. I love that.
Now I get to say something, you know what I mean? And don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to wear. Let me just have this thing for myself.
Yeah, let you live life, you know?
That's right.
Yours,
and, you know? And it's our form of saying live and let live. We're just saying it a little bit harder.
Right. Yes, perfectly too, you know, because I love that song too dearly. But speaking of you said that that I could ask you about this in a previous text. I would ask you like, okay, so you were incarcerated for an amount of time, right? So this
is my adult life, 27 years.
Okay. So this podcast deals with depression also, as opposed to music, right? So I feel like you, like anybody in jail, is obviously depressed, right? So did you look to I know that you probably didn't have music in there, but
you did.
Okay, good. Yes,
I did.
Yes,
it's where I learned how to play.
Oh, okay, nice. Okay.
Yep, I did, and I taught myself how to play three chords, and I could play any song to those three chords. It didn't matter if they were supposed to be played to that song or not.
Right. Okay, so that's EGA, right? The chords EGA. Right? Yeah.
Hey, and music was my way of escaping it. And I didn't know that it would come out here and turn into what it did. But it's truthfully changed my life and allowed me to teach myself how to feel, how to express that feeling, and then how other people take that expression. You know what I mean? And how to communicate with other people, even using the cuss word, a collaboration.
Don't say that word, man. Jason's going to get you, man. Yeah. But that's, okay. Yeah, so you did have music. So, because I was wondering about that, because a lot of places like that don't allow much of anything,
Yeah, there's, I can't think of maybe one. I was incarcerated in five state numbers and two federal. And I think almost all of them had allowed at some point in time access to music.
Right.
And it was good. So yeah. I was slow, but here's my thing is that what I say to people is that if after I am 53, I know 19 is what I look, but I'm 53 and doing this thing and my whole life is different. I'll never be in prison again. And music has given me that.
Okay, good. Great. Yeah. And you mentioned before we talked over the phone a few days ago, and you said that we all were headlining an event coming up soon.
Well, we got a lot of things. Jason, right. give him a spill.
Yeah.
Well, let's give you the rundown now. June 21st, we are in Pierre, South Dakota at Owyhee Days. It's an art festival opening for Struggle Jennings, and we're bringing along our friends from Allison Harmony. We'll be going to Norfolk, Nebraska for Boomfest, the 4th of July celebration, Midwest's largest fireworks show, 29,000 people in attendance last year. From there, we will be heading to Dennis's hometown of West Point, Nebraska.
Yes.
And headlining a show, bringing along Allison Harmony. And we are going to tear the town up.
Yes.
In their new theater. And then we will be heading to Canton, Ohio for, Dennis, help me out.
The NFL Hall of Fame Week. We are headlining the Tailgating Hall of Fame Summer Bash 2025.
Yes.
We're taking it. We're going to show the world how we get
tailgate
crazy.
There you go. Yes. All right. So I do have, okay, so you mentioned a theater, correct? You're going to, okay, so. Do you find it a lot more harder or easier playing in the theater rather than outside or like a big coliseum? Which venue do you prefer?
I like outside.
Okay.
I like the fresh air. I like the sound not bouncing back.
Yeah. Did we lose you?
Air conditioning.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Operated.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? For me, and I think that the truth of the matter is that Jason is the same as once we're on stage, we're on stage.
Yeah.
And everything else, where we're at, whatever, it kind of slips away, and we're able to be, we're released from all that. You know what I mean? We're released. It's like a meditation in motion.
Right. Awesome. That's great.
I'm really looking forward to playing at the West Point Theater. I'm definitely going to defend that. You know, there's not one show that we're doing in this concert series that isn't a big deal to us. We traveled throughout the NFL last year, and we were at the draft in Detroit for the Superfan Summit tailgate. Mm-hmm. Then we were in Houston, Texas at the Texans tailgate, Minnesota Vikings tailgate, Tennessee Titans tailgate. We were at all these tailgates last year, and because of that, we get to open up for Struggle Jennings. You know, like what your podcast is based off of, we have a lot more songs that, you know, it costs a lot of money to get a song produced. Mm-hmm. But we have a lot more music. And one of the songs that was written around the events that took place while we were listening to Struggle Jennings music on the radio, and it's called Smokey and the Bandit, and it's a really good tune about my days in addiction. We have another song called the Jimmy Phillips song, which is based on a suicide that happened, true life story in Jimmy Phillips's life. I met him in prison. He came in and asked me if I could teach him how to play the guitar. I said, I'm not a very good guitar player, but I can teach you how we play in the trailer park.
There you go.
Right. And then he shared his story with me. And I wrote this song, and him and I used to play it together. And now we're getting ready to produce it. And it's called the Jimmy Phillips song.
Right.
And there's a lot of release of his trauma through that one, release of mine through Smokey and the Bandit. And you know, we had been, I had been directed against putting these songs out first. But now we're kind of gonna, we're playing a couple of them, on live on stage coming up. So
we don't really listen to anybody tell us what we're supposed to do anyway.
No,
don't try to church us up.
Yeah. Cause that's not the church thing to do, right? Yeah. So
that's right.
Speaking of those Smokey and the Bandit, I found it on SonicBids.com, and I'll leave the link below. And it says that you played acoustic live. So yeah.
Okay. It is on our Sonic. It is on our Sonic right now. You're right. Yeah. So if you hear a lot of people, that is our EPK and.
Right, okay.
And we send that out to some people before we are getting booked, and it gives them an idea of the songs that we're going to play live.
Right,
but yeah, that's on there.
Okay, so this is the EPK. So do you have like an official website yet?
You know what? In the trailer park, I ran free AOL and shotgun modems just to get DSL.
Dude, I remember AOL. You know.
Okay. So where, you know, here's the thing is that where we're coming from, we're just getting started, and there's a lot of things that we can do and improve on. Facebook and social medias have been our best thing.
Yes.
We've been on the news a few times, and you know, that's what's gotten us this far. Yeah. And expenditures, we, in order to keep income high, is lower the expenses. And that's you know, that's why my clothesline and my electricity are the same thing.
Yeah.
And they stem from the neighbor's house. I'm just plugged in.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Oh yeah, brother. Yeah. So So y'all seem to be going all around the country so far, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna start with Jason if you don't mind. What has been the most memorable performance experience so far since you've been to all these tailgates and, you know, everything? What's been the most memorable?
Without a doubt, when our friend from Texas brought us down, played the Houston tailgate right there at the stadium, played on a fire truck. Dennis was dancing around. Jay was in the back of a truck with his kit. everything about that trip is still, I remember it daily, and it brings joy to myself.
Nice. Dennis.
I'm going to flip it.
Okay.
I'm going to flip it. So, same friend. So, what happened is his name is Freddie Chief Texan, Freddie McLemore from the Nupset Tailgaters for the Houston Texans. He's their number one fan, and he's our family. Here's the thing. He brought us all the way to Texas. He lived us up. You know what I mean? He paid for the trip, got us the Airbnb. He did everything. He's such a true guy, and we're a fan of his as well. Trailer Park Country is a fan of the fans.
Yeah.
When Jason was up there on top of the fire truck, that was such a cool moment. A week later, we switched scripts. They were on the ground, and I was on top of the fire truck. Oh,
okay.
Right?
Hell yeah.
A different fire truck up in Minnesota at the Vikings. And being up on top of that fire truck, that's why I recognize with Jason. Being up on top of that fire truck and singing to the hotel gate, you know me, I'm in costume, they're in costumes. I mean, these are super fans of the NFL, you know. That was the best experience thus far. You know, they made us. First of all, you know, they tell us that we're the talent, they're the market. But the truth of the matter is, if you've ever been to a tailgate, there's no game without fans. You know what I mean? There's no game out there without the fans. And the tailgate does what we do. They prep the fans ahead of time for the game. You know what I mean? And they are so dedicated. They raise money for charities. They do all this stuff. And they're the most dedicated people in the world. And they brought they played our song. Our song was introduced before it was ever released on any digital platform. It was released by the Greatest North American Tailgating Society, Captain Steve Weber, outside the Cleveland Browns Stadium at a tailgate. And he played it for the tailgate. And they loved it.
Yeah.
And that was the first time it was ever played anywhere. And then next thing you know, all the other tailgates are picking it up. And then they sent us video footage. We held a tailgate in the middle of a blizzard in South Dakota at my bus depot. And then we blended the video and created the video for Tailgate Crazy with them. We put it out free on Facebook to give back to the people who gave to us. And that's what happened. It took off so much that they called us and invited us out to the Superfan Summit tailgate for the Detroit Draft last year.
Yes.
And then it just went from there.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that, you know, because I think people will now start recommending more and more independent artists because that's what people need to hear, you know.
Yeah.
Because the morons on the radio don't know what's good anymore. They just play, you know, stuff that people think that they might hear, you know, which I am fully against. You know, it's bringing independent artists just like yourselves to the light, you know, because that's what, you know, excites me, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, and we appreciate that because, you know, we've been on, everybody, like, we've heard our song on community radio. We've had radio stations at the places that we're going to pick it up and promote our songs on the radio. But it's really hard to break into the industry these days.
Right.
We didn't even know that we was going to.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't know that we was going to find our fan base. We just decided to keep on trying. And then it hit with the fans of the NFL.
Yeah.
And we just kept going.
Nice. So I do have three more questions for y'all, and then we can let you go. But Jason, I'm going to start with you first, brother. Okay, so let's say you are, let's go way in time. Okay, let's go way back when to your 14, 15, 16 days, you know, era. Okay, we're looking at your room. What musical posters are on the wall, or if there's any musical posters on your wall, what would they be?
The only poster I can remember being on my wall are the guitar chords and Farrah Fawcett.
I think Farrah was on everybody's wall back in the day. Yeah. Which is great. Yeah. I love it.
Okay, Dennis, how about you?
I'm going to have to make it up because at 14 and 15, I was in an institution a dormitory.
Yeah.
But 14 or 50s, I'm trying to think the area of town I was in. I think I might have been around Lincoln, Nebraska at the time. Actually, you know, I might have been in Norfolk right then.
Okay. We're in Norfolk then.
Yeah, I think I was in Norfolk, Nebraska at the time. So we're talking about the 80s.
Yeah.
Man, it was a multitude of things going on. You know, but I didn't have posters, man.
Yeah,
okay. You know,
really, that's fair. Yeah.
I did not have posters. My life.
Your life is your life, right?
It's not delinquent, man. You know, I didn't have posters. I was stealing car stereos just to listen to somebody else's music.
Right. Well, my next question is, I know you're going to give me a great answer because we're going to do the top four musicians or artists of all time that you, according to you. So it's kind of like a Mount Rushmore for artists, right? So we're going to start with Dennis, and then we're going to go to Dennis, because I feel like he has some rock, you know, influences in there too, since he, you know, since he's a rock guy. Yeah, so Dennis, let's take it off with you, buddy.
All right. Rory Cockerham, R-O-R-Y. My dad.
Okay.
All right. He was my thing. Steve Miller. The Steve Miller Band is one of my favorite bands of all time. Let's see. I liked a lot of mixed stuff coming up. So I gotta go. My dad, Steve Miller. You know, any of the 80s hair bands.
Right, yeah.
And then let's see, my fourth band would be Trailer Park Country.
There you go. Why not? Rip yourself. Yes, sir. Right. I love those.
Somebody got it.
Somebody has to. And I'm sure Jason will throw it up there too. So, all right, Jason, what's up?
For me?
Yes.
Randy Rhoads, hands down.
Perfect.
Best guitarist I've ever heard. When I started listening to his music, I wanted to be him. I wanted to do that. That was my thing. Yeah. And after he died, it kind of took a back seat to everything. You know, I listened to him, but as it got older, I reevaluated.
Yeah.
So, second, Foo Fighters. Love I think them. Dave Grohl and the guitar player slips my mind, but what they do.
Pat Spear?
The other one.
Oh, I don't know the other one. No, I'm sorry. Yeah.
So those guys, they make some incredible music, and they always keep it upbeat, and, you know, it fills you up with something. The sound really does. And the other two, you know, I grew up listening to a lot of rock and roll, but before my rock and roll, my parents were country and Hank Williams Jr. and Elvis and Johnny Paycheck. Those were the songs that I heard. And Elvis, you know, when I was younger, Elvis was the king.
Yeah,
and
still is, you know.
Always, always great songs from Elvis. And then one of my idols, I guess, when I was young, he's passed now, but he was who inspired me to play guitar, to learn how to play guitar. His name is Jim Casey, and he's from our hometown, and he made it down to Nashville. And great musician, great songwriter, and he's one of the best people you'll ever want to meet. And that's why I'm here today.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Elvis, I think everybody.
Uh oh, lost audio.
Oh, hello. Can you hear me? No, you can't hear me. Okay, Dennis, can you hear me?
There we go.
I can now.
Okay, we're sorry about that. I'm gonna edit that out. Yeah, Yeah, but I think Elvis is on like everybody else's top four, you know, because he's so influential. So, but yeah. I do have a question for you, Jason. Do you have a Randy Rhoads guitar? You know, I mean, since you know.
You know what? I don't hear, but I do have one.
But, okay, yeah, because I have a like a miniature model, you know, one of them. I guess it's a mini Flansy or something. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, but those things are great, Jackson's. Yeah, I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. So, all right. Okay. So our last question for y'all is, okay. So this is gonna be the hardest question that I've asked tonight. Is there one artist, album, or song that you can listen to, but you can't tell anybody else how it makes you feel deep inside your soul?
You listen to that you can't tell anybody else?
How it makes you feel deep inside, yes. Like it's so like inborn in you, you just don't have the words to tell people how it makes you feel. You know.
There are a number of those.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Give us however you want. You don't have to, you know.
You know, it's funny, but music is an expression of the soul, and it really influences everyone's emotions when they listen to it. Sometimes right off the bat, I don't want to listen to it. Yeah. You know, I'm not into that. But, you know, Hootie and the Blowfish, the one song, Let Her Cry.
Yes.
That one does something to me. Yeah. Right off the get, when I hear it, when I sing it, I get emotional a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think one of Dennis's songs that he wrote that we play, it speaks to me. It tells me how I'm supposed to express it on guitar, and that's something.
Yeah, that's powerful. Dennis,
you know what? It's funny that he had a cry in the name of the title because I thought of two songs: "White Lion," "When the Children Cry," because I was the crying child. And the other one I thought of was Phil Collins in the Air Tonight.
Perfect song, yeah.
Yep, those two songs take me to so many, two opposite directions, and to so many different places. One relives a childhood, and the other relives my rebellion to it.
Yeah, nice. Well, thank you all for sharing that with us, because I know like some songs are too private to share. So I just want to say thank y'all for sharing that with us. And we do honestly thank y'all for coming on. And for my listeners, y'all can visit their YouTube channel and their TikTok channel, and they're on Facebook. So I will leave the links at the bottom of the description. And can you tell us where y'all are going to be again? So I just want to share that with everybody again.
You bet.
All right.
June 21st, Pier, South Dakota, at the Oahe Arts Festival, Oahe Days. Then the July 5th in Norfolk, Nebraska, at Boomfest, biggest fireworks show in the Midwest. West Point, Nebraska. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that is July 19th. Is that correct, Dennis? July 19th. Yes, sir. Down at the theater there. I don't know what the title of the theater is.
West Point Community Theater.
There you go. And then we are in Canton, Ohio at the Tailgaters Hall of Fame Summer Bash. Yes.
Hall of Fame.
And we would like to be wherever you're at, so give us a holler. Reach out to James Cox. Hey, let us come put on a show for you.
Yes. What if actually... Two venues here that I would love you all to come: the Art Bar and the Senate. So I'll try to reach out to them and see what we can do for y'all. You know, because I really want to meet y'all too. You know.
Yeah, we'd love to meet you. You know,
be there.
And we both work around our jobs to get there. The good part about it is my job, I drive a bus here in Sioux Falls for those people who utilize wheelchairs. And my home base, the home company, is in Pierre, South Dakota. So they really support. We filmed our version of Tailgate Crazy inside our bus depot.
Nice, nice. Oh, and before we go, I see you're wearing a Trailer Park Country shirt. Where can people get that shirt and your merchandise from?
Currently, at our concerts.
Okay, nice. Okay,
currently at our concerts is where we sell merchandise. The technical side of that situation is in the hands of Jason Robbins.
Jason, come on, man. All right.
There it is.
There it is. Yeah. Got to set up a store, an online store, you know? So, but that's coming. That's coming, you know, slow and steady wins the race around here. So I do want to thank y'all too for coming on the show and come back anytime you want to. Like I said, I'll try to get you all booked here in South Carolina. Maybe we can meet, you know, hang out a few hours or something. So thank you all again for coming on.
And our pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Perfect. Thank you so much. And with that said, everybody, thank you for listening. And always remember, when words fail, music speaks. Bye, guys.